All right. Well, I'm excited for this day. It's been great this morning. But I just want to share with you a few thoughts. And first thought I want to share with you is this. Every day, we arise. Oh, big revelation, all. Oh, that's a big revelation. Every day, we arise. I believe that the Lord has set a pattern in our life to show us that every day ought to be a resurrection day. Come on, get it now. Every day you rise. Every day we ought to look at life as if it's a new day. Because you were asleep and now you're awake. The resurrection that we talked about briefly last week, and we're going to just talk a few more minutes about it this morning. I want us to see that in the resurrection, there is a presence and the power of God that is to be experienced. There's a physical element to the whole story. Yeah, Jesus died, and we believe as Christians, not only did he stay dead. Last week we had this tomb with the stone up here rolled away. Come on, it ought to make a difference in your life. It's not just the story 2,000 years ago. Hey, it's a great story. I love the story. But if the story itself, if the message of that story doesn't make a difference in your life, then what good it is? What good is it? So when you look at the teachings in the New Testament, you know what's interesting is that from the time when the Gospels were complete, because the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record this story of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And when you start with the book of Acts, how many of you know after the Gospels comes the book of Acts, chronologically, historically? When you come to the book of Acts, it would seem that every time that the apostles or people who preached the word, who taught people, the message always included resurrection. Read it. I'm not going to take time today. But read the book of Acts. It was the because they realized that something had shifted. How many of you know the disciples of Jesus lived, they lived following Jesus, doing their thing. They had their ups and downs, probably more downs than ups. Jesus still loved them. Come on. Here's a guy, Peter. He says, look, God, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. If everybody else denies you, there's no way I'm going to deny you because I got your back, man. I got you covered. And Jesus says, listen, don't be so arrogant. Do you think you got it? I'm going to tell you something, because Jesus also could tell the future. So he spoke prophetically to Peter. He said, listen, you think you're going to stand with me, but before the cock crows, before the rooster crows in the morning, you would have denied me three times. But the story goes like this. Even though you have denied me, I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed that when you are restored, because you're going to fall, but when you're restored, I want you to realize that you're going to have the ability to strengthen your brothers. So there was a weakness there. There was a sense of, personal dependence and a personal reliance and a sense of confidence in self. May I tell you, self-confidence can soon come crumbling down. But the Lord, through his resurrection, and after his resurrection, came to Peter, restored him. How many of you know the story of Peter's restoration? And the Lord restored Peter, and the power of Holy Spirit, it's the resurrection power of Jesus, the Spirit of God. It says when the Spirit comes, he is the life-giving power of Jesus. It baptized them. It filled them. So Peter, if you read the book of Acts, Peter is one of those guys that is so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the energy and the power of God that he releases the messages of God without fear, in boldness and confidence. And hundreds, literally thousands of people come to Jesus. You know, it's amazing. Something happened. The resurrection message changed everything. I want you to realize that this is not just a good story. This is not just and let me tell you something. It's not just good because I believe in Jesus, that he died and he rose again. I believe, we sang the songs, one day I am going to rise again with him. Come on. One day, those graves, the people who believed in Jesus are out there in those graves, because I don't know everybody's life. But Jesus says at the last day, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Man, I have some people that I love that have gone too early and gone anyways. Whether they gone early or not, I want to see that day. How many are looking forward to that day, to meeting your loved ones? Come on. I'm excited about the resurrection that guarantees to me that one day we're going to rise again. Come on. But I'm talking about something more than that here. I'm talking about not only the guarantees, the resurrection of Jesus guarantees one day I'm going to rise again, because he is the first fruits of those who rise. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 says he's the first one of many that are going to rise. But there's something very, very, very important and very powerful that we need to get a hold of. Now, what's interesting is resurrection, believing in the resurrection and receiving what Jesus gives to you. What Jesus' intention for you is that you and I would live as if we are alive in God. We would live with the power of the resurrection operating every day. It's like this. I want to go back to that illustration I gave you earlier. Every day you wake up. Wouldn't it be great if you realized that moment that if you are in Jesus, okay, if you have received forgiveness and grace and mercy. The Bible says if you receive Jesus, you have life. Those who receive him have life. And that life is not just, it's resurrection life. It's life with empowerment. It's that life that gives me the grace and the ability to say no to sin. It's a life that gives me that sense that I belong to God. It's that life that actually allows me to see where I now live. Okay, go to a couple of scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. I got to flip around a couple of scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. Listen to this. In Colossians 3, it says, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What kind of a resurrection is that? What he's saying, since you have believed in his death, you believed in his resurrection, now you are risen with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says, listen to this. Quickly flip over. I can try quoting it, but you know, sometimes we misquote it. Ephesians 2:6. I like what it says in this passage. In regard to this, Ephesians 2:6, let's begin in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2:4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ. Yeah, with him. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen, when I wake up in the morning and I see myself there, things change for the day. Come on. Don't lose it. Perspective. Colossians 3, since then you are raised with Christ, set your minds on things above. It's a time, it's a moment. I'm encouraging you to start your day thinking about where you are and whose you are. Don't lose it. This is practical. Get a hold of this. So when you begin saying, God, I belong to you. I'm seated with Christ in the heaven. It sounds weird and lofty, but let me tell you something. It's very powerful. When you start thinking that you belong to him and your position is in Christ. Because when I recognize that in my life, then let's go back to Colossians 3. I know you're going to say you're flipping me around too much here today in the Bible, but I want you to see Colossians 3. It says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. And verse 2, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. And then here's the thing. I wake up in the morning, I need to recognize that day that I'm putting to death the things of this life. I'm choosing to live a life. I'm choosing to live. So it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Let me tell you something. As God's redeemed sons and daughters, recognizing to whom we belong, to whom I belong, I wake up in the morning and I say, I am a son of God. I'm a child of the King. I belong to him. I'm seated with him in the heavenly places. And guess what? I am living in a world that's not, by and large. I'm not ignorant of the fact that the world is a lure. I'm not ignorant of the fact that trials and temptations are around me. I'm not ignorant of the fact that this flesh that's in me can also be weak. Come on. So you recognize, hey, I'm stepping into this day with the power of the resurrection. Don't make this too lofty. Grab a hold of it and say that I belong to God. I'm choosing to allow his life to live in me, to operate in me. And you know what? I'll tell you what. When you start to live like that, you're going to start to see the things that you want so much because they're of the flesh. They're of a desire that's not God's. But you think it's perspective. Who am I here to please? Myself? Am I here to please God? Life is about living as he lived. It's about Jesus living in me. I love this, but Paul said in Galatians 2, in verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. You know what? Another place Paul says, I die daily, that the life of Christ, you know, his life might come forth in my life. Every day we have to make a choice. Come on. Every day you're going to have to make a choice. Am I choosing to surrender my life to the will of God and to the plan of God? Every day. So I want to encourage you. This is a daily thing. Every day we should say, I live again. I'm seated with Christ. Every morning, make it a resurrection morning. Every morning, get up and say, God, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Set your minds on things above. I love this expression because everything around you and around me is out to take my mind in a different direction. I'll tell you, your pain, your grief, your personal, what would you call it? Desires, the world's influence around you, they're not necessarily designed to take you above. They're not designed to have your mind set on things above. It's like the things of the world, lust of the flesh, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, they're not from God. And God says, if you have this operating in your life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of you don't have God operating, you have the world operating. Hey, this is not Noel talking. This is God speaking. I want to encourage you with something. to live a life that God is asking us to live and not having the influences of this world around us, we need to recognize. So when we go into this place in Colossians 3, I'm going to skip a lot of verses for a moment, but I want to continue on in verse 15. You need to read it later, but I'm going to go to verse 15. I want you to see what we need besides waking up in the morning and recognizing that I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that he's living in me and operating in me today. If I surrender to that, there's another place. Colossians 3, look at verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. So, and this is the part I want to get to. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay. I get up in the morning. I acknowledge I'm seated with Christ. His life is in me. I really want you to see that in order for your mind to be renewed to this reality, in order for my mind to live out of this reality, in order for my heart and my mind to be drawn to this affection, this would be my affection, I need to let the word of Christ dwell in my heart richly. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you read your Bible last week? Okay. How many of you read your Bible 3 times last week? How many read you 5 times last week? Okay, good. That's good. I know some of you are going to say, well, that's, Pastor, you shouldn't be asking questions like that. Too personal. Let me tell you something. It is personal. God has appointed me to be a shepherd here. And it's personal. I'm going to give an account to the sheep he's placed here. If I'm not taking care, I can't be your shepherd. I can't be you, but I can encourage you and exhort you and guide you. The shepherd has intentions that are good for his sheep, but how many know sheep are wanderers? And they'll choose to go their own way. Now, he is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, but he does entrust people with responsibility, right? So there is a place where if I can encourage you guys to renew your mind with his word, let his word renew your mind. Be washed in your mind with the word. How can a young man or a person keep his way clean but by the word of God? And it's not just about coming to church or listening to a good sermon. It's about putting yourself in a place where God's word, his life-giving word, speaks to you. I got people who say, you know what? Oh, it's more important. Gifts are more important. Let me tell you something. I have no use for gifts if it's not wrapped in the context of the word of God, of the teachings of God, of the character of God. Gifts can fly left, right, and center. I'll tell you, you know what I mean by that? People are so spiritual, super spiritual. It's like, wow, look what they carry. They're amazing. But there's no reality in depth and character and maturity because they're not in the word. The word's not in them. It's not their foundation. Holy Spirit takes the word of God and makes it live. I want to encourage you. Look, I've said this to you before. Don't worry about, I got to get so much reading done. It's not about getting so much reading done. It's not about how much of the word you get in. It's how much of how much of the word has a hold of you, I guess is another way to put it. Let the word do its work. And James says, be hearers not only, but doers also. So let's be those who take the word of God and let the Holy Spirit just inspire us, encourage us, stir us up. And God's able. I want to encourage you not only to be, wake up in the morning, look at your life, who you are, look at your life as being risen with Christ. I want you to recognize that the word of God is important. Be renewed in your minds with the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. and then choose to live according to the word for that day. Look at verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, so get up in the morning, have a cup, I got to have a cup of coffee. I got to have two cups of coffee. I just get, and I got to say, Lord, now let me tell you something. Does that mean, Noel, you're faithfully committed to every day? Well, there's days I do miss. I'm not trying to put on anything that, I'm just saying, but I just know how important it is. I've started the day without the word, and the Lord says, uh-uh, come on. And it's not just that. It's like, you're going about the day without me, without acknowledging me, without even praying to me. So it's interesting because if we don't include God, and I think the word is only part of it. There's a communication. There's a fellowship. I incorporate that in my life. I'm encouraging you every day to incorporate that in your life. Does that mean that you're foolproof? Does that mean that you're totally guarded? Listen, just because you prepare your heart and your mind and you renew your mind with the word of God, arrows of the enemy are going to come. Hey, boom. He's out to fire those darts. He's out to cause you to fall. He's not happy that you're walking with God. He's not happy that you're just... So what happens is as I put the word of the Lord in my spirit, it is a fortifying thing. It is something which is a sword of the spirit God gives to me, right? Because to ward off the enemy for the day, perhaps, right? But there is a place where I choose then to walk as he walked. Here's the thing. I can have full equipment of God. I can have the full armor of God. I can have all that he provides for me to walk in victory that day. I can know that I'm his. I can know that I'm alive in God. I know his spirit is in me. His power is in me. I am a resurrected son in the spirit with God. And I can take the word and I can eat it that morning and I can pray and I'm on my way. And all of a sudden, boom, temptation. Did I make that? It's that moment. Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is a great, I have to recognize that there is also that power, resurrection power, and that strength that God has given me, then gives me the grace to come against the temptation. So it says here, I love this, whatever you do, verse 17, Colossians 3, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Another place it says, do all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So basically it's like this. Oh, the other day I was tempted to go fishing. This particular day I looked at my wife. By the way, it wasn't that long ago. And she had to work, and she's worked hard. She's worked, right now she's working hard, really hard. She's probably got more on work-wise than she's had for a long time. And she works at a physically demanding job. That's what she does. She's a contract painter, if you didn't know. So she's home, and she's actually not even home. And I'm tempted to go fishing. I'm out doing whatever I'm doing. And all of a sudden, this thought comes to me. Well, what about your wife? Do you think it might be a good idea? I'm talking to my spirit. Wouldn't it be a good idea if you went home and got supper? I'm making it practical here. And that doesn't sound too sinful to go fishing. But it's selfish. Maybe it is sinful. I'm just using a simple example. Now, there's times I haven't done so well and failed and slipped. But what I'm saying is whatever I do, if I can put into the context of whatever I do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. If whatever I say and do, I say it to bring glory to God. Whatever I do in my relationships, my own life, how would God like it if I carried on like this? How would God like it? What would his heart feel? Would he be pleased? So this is, This is the context. This message is meant to be very practical. Because things can come out of my mouth pretty quick at times. Or things can come out of my actions that aren't godly. God's as much concerned about that as he is about all the wonderful works and supernatural wonders and miracles that I do or don't do. Now, God loves me. God loves me deeply. I love this passage. And I'm going to close out with this. In Philippians 3, Paul's cry in chapter 3, verse 10 is this. Listen, Philippians 3, 10. For that I may know Christ. Come on. That I may know. Okay. And what's the other part? Power of his resurrection. You know what's interesting? Paul had been a Christian for 30 years already, 30 some years. And he says, this is my desire, even after I've known Christ for 30 years, that I may know him, that I may prove him, that I may know the power of his resurrection. I may prove the strength of God. I love this because I can only know the power of his resurrection, which is when I die to self. There's a whole message, I'm not preaching on this right now, but I can only know the power of his resurrection when I've experienced death to self. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, but I want you to get this, and I'm going to close out with this because this is important. In next section, Philippians 3, just go to the next couple of verses there. And he says, if so, somehow, I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or already have been made perfect. Listen, none of us are perfect, but there's one who is. Come on, hey, do you know one who's perfect? And where does he live? And where else does he live? Amen. Okay. He's perfect. Where does he live? All right. I haven't yet attained perfection, but I press to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Remember, why did he take a hold of you? Romans 8. Romans 8. Those he justifies, he? Come on, why did he take a hold of you? Come on, why did he take a hold of you? To glorify you, to perfect you. So it says here, I take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So I say, Lord, you got a hold of me, to glorify Jesus in me. You know, it's not me personally. It's that my life would bring glory to God, right? Okay, so what happens here? He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of it. 30 years walking with God. You think he's got it all together. He says, look, I do not consider myself yet to taking hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is. Come on, forgetting what is. Say it, forgetting what is. Yesterday's yesterday. I'm going to sleep tonight. Tomorrow's a new day. Come on, get up in the morning. Look up, see whose you are. Amen. I want you to see this. This is one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Come on, aren't you glad about that? That's a good place to end off here. I pray now in Jesus' name that God would give you vision to see that he's got plans and purpose for you. I do not want to mess up the plans and the purposes, good plans and good purposes he has for me, for my family, for this church, wherever you're connected. But I am glad that even if I fail, if I make a mistake, that God is Redeemer. Amen. Come on. God's a Redeemer. That's his purpose for coming into the world. And he's able to pick me up, clean me off, wash me, and says, forget the things that are behind. And look forward to the things that God has for you and the plans he has for your good. Come on, how many of you remember Israel didn't obey God and got into a situation and God put them into captivity in Babylon. And while they were in Babylon, they were serving their time, kind of like a consequence of their disobedience. That's what it was. God says, when the 70 years are completed, you're going to be free. But that was the time. That was God's plan. But he said in that same chapter, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, who can quote that for me? I know the plans I have for you. Come on. Not to harm you, to bless you, to prosper you, to give you hope in the future. Right? So my thought here is this, guys. Even though we might be in a situation where we're in that place, God is saying, I still have plans for your life. Aren't you glad? Come on. So I release you with the blessing of God this day. I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, may this word live in your spirits. May we live with hope and confidence that God is for me. Who is against me? No weapons formed against us will prosper. I want to cling to Jesus. I want to cling to his life. I want to cling to that resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that is in me. That's Jesus Christ who lives in me. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.